Well, good morning, everyone. Praise God. Well, I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning. Hope everybody's doing good. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 18. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Our endeavor this morning is to determine the will of God. What is the will of God for our lives? And, it's been such a beautiful summer in terms of weather. Eh? It's just been so nice. Beach weather. I mean, you don't have to go to the beach and freeze. How many of you have been to the beach? Anybody gone to the beach? Well, a few of you. You can go to the beach and not freeze. We went to a couple of times. We didn't swim, but we just want to watch people swim. My wife and I went to Sandy Beach, it's called, right? And it was so nice. We heard it was such a nice beach, and sure enough, it was really good. I thought we were in another country for a while. It was so actually sandy. Water is shallow for quite a while. And how many of you have ever been to Sandy Beach? Okay. How many would like to go right now? You can go there, you can put on your muscle shirt, and Pastor Corey, okay, you can wear the other shirt then, and just sit around and just have a great time. We don't have any water on this end, on Boulevard Lake. It's all gone away. So, I don't know, sorry about that, because I was going to walk across the river, and I said, water, be gone, and it's gone now, so I don't know how to make it come back. You can walk across. So it's been exceptional as far as weather's concerned. You walk outside and you could feel that warm hug your body. I remember being like that over in, you and I went to Orlando, Florida. I think I went a couple of times. And we went to a conference with Benny Hinn. We were partners many, many years with Benny Hinn. Traveled to the Holy Spirit conferences, and it was so warm there, like this really, really warm. It was February, it was the weather like this. But I don't think it's like that all the time every February, but that time it was very, very warm. And of course, in Tulsa, if you've ever been to Tulsa, it's like being in the desert. It never gets cool at night. I remember when I first went to Tulsa for a conference, it was kind of warm inside I want to get some fresh air. I went outside. I think it was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was like 85 degrees. Just really, really warm. So if you ever think about going to Tulsa, sometimes it can be very hot. But other times, it's pretty pleasant. So unless you're running into tornadoes, it's a tornado alley. So believe God that you're not going to be swept away in a storm. So, and I see Sandra Monroe. Is she here today? No, she's off. Sandra is in Toronto, I think, eh? So Sandra, if you're watching, come on home. She travels almost every place in the country. Sometimes she's on a mountaintop, and one day she's eating some kind of dessert at the beach. So, did you find the scripture? Why don't we stand up and pray and believe God together for this time? Amen. I believe that God wants to speak to people this morning. Thank God. You know, if your children's making noise, that's fine. Like, bring your children to church and look at these kids over there. Look at them. All you have to do is buy an iPad. It only costs you about $1,000 each. So these guys, did you take your chicken money and bought every one of them for the month? Okay. Sometimes we make jokes about kids making fun, but listen, when they're making noise, when they come in, thank God that you can bring your kids to church. Bring them while they're young, and so then they'll learn, they'll be trained. And by the time they get about 8, 9 years old, then they start fighting you. You ever notice that? But you have to bring them. You bring them anyway until they can get out and pay their own rent. So we did that for our kids, and as soon as they're 18, 19, 20, they stayed home. And some of them moved away. But they still come to church and still praying and Of course, you know, everybody has to come to a place in their life where you make your own decisions. So bring them until they make their decisions themselves. It's your house. I said, listen, I pay for the rent. I pay for your clothes. You come to church. You don't have a choice until you, you know, finish high school and all that. So do it. And I know how many of you, your dad and mom forced you to come to church for a while. Miss your hand. Yeah. So, you know, we were told to go to church. My mom and dad didn't force me to go to church, but I went to a Catholic church and they forced us. So if you go to church on because we were on the reserve and the nuns and the priest and that, I always tell my wife, when we're making the bed in the morning, so she tries to help me make the bed. I said, don't help me make the bed because she doesn't do it right. So I have to be a certain way. So I learned a regimen from the nuns. I said, if you don't, the nuns are coming. So I still have the fear of the nuns. And so it has to be a certain way. So sometimes she gets mad at me. Sometimes I get mad at her. So that's their first fight of the day, every day. So I believe God can move here today. Amen? Let's pray for the will of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives. And we come in here to hear your voice, Lord. We thank you for your mighty word that changes lives forever. We thank you for Holy Spirit. He's our teacher, our guide. We thank you for Jesus giving us life, everlasting life. And we pray that everyone at the sound of my voice, because you're here and because we're asking you, Lord, that you will reveal your perfect plan, your will, your purpose for their lives, and what you want them to do for the rest of their lives, and that you would give people wisdom for this time and this hour, that they'll begin to know to turn right or to left or to stop or to move ahead. We want to thank you that they will understand who they allow in their lives and who they shall cut off in their lives and what they will be prepared to do and what they should be prepared to do. We want to thank you in advance for the Holy Spirit giving them guidance and leading them and showing them what they will do. We give you praise for clarity and understanding. There'd be no doubt, no shadow of a doubt, that their next step in life will be a move that is ordained by God. We give you praise and thank you in advance, for this shall be done in Jesus' name, because we agree, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, be seated. As I mentioned, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. I'm reading a New Living Translation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances, but this is God's will for you, belong to Jesus Christ. And I know, I understand there's people, there's a lot of complaining going on with the COVID and with the masks and all the kind of stuff going on. I know you didn't complain this morning, but there's other people that are not here. They're the ones that complain. And people just saying different things about everything, you know, going on. But it says, notice this in Thessalonians, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. We understand that these circumstances are being tough on everybody, physically and just the social life that we've been having. A lot of disruptions going on in our lives. But it says to be thankful in these circumstances, whether it's a hard time or a bad time, the Bible says wants us to have a good attitude. Being thankful is having a good attitude and not to be a grumpy old person. It's God's will that we get happy no matter what happens in our lives. That we find a way to find ourselves happy. Now, if God told you to do this, then it's possible for you to get happy. It's possible for you to smile and enjoy life, no matter what's going on. Even the toughest times that's confronting you today. The Bible says it's possible for you to get happy and to be thankful. So be thankful for different things. You can always find something to be thankful for, but it's God's will. It is God's will for us to be thankful. Not for the sickness that's happening all over the world, not for the death that's going on. We aren't supposed to be thankful for all the disruptions. That's not what we're thankful for. We're thankful because God says to have a good attitude, because God's in control of our lives if we allow him to do that for us. So In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, I'm reading the I'm going to drop this to you guys. Ephesians 5 and 5:17. I just sent you something there, Kendra. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Ephesians 5:17, New Living Translation says, don't act thoughtlessly. So God wants you to use your head when it comes to finding His will. Start using your brain, your intellect, in terms of trying to research and understand about finding what God wants you to do. God doesn't want you to be in the dark concerning His will. And there's people walking around needlessly, not knowing what the will of God is for their lives. So we have two scriptures here that just tells us about the will of God. And Ephesians 5:17, God wants you to think about what you're doing. God wants you to think about His will. What is His will? What is God's plan for your life in Thunder Bay? What is His plan this year? What's His plan coming up in the fall? What does God want you to do? Where does He want you to go? And who does He want you to be with? So those are important questions for everybody in every situation over here. So our idea this morning, what we want to bring across to you is that when we talk about God's will, what is it? Well, God's will is the perfect plan that He has designed for you. So, well, we want to talk about God's will is His perfect plan. So God wants you to know His plan, His purposes for your life. And He's not hiding that plan from you. He's not trying to make it hard for you to find that plan. He wants you to know everything that He's planned for you. He has a way for us to find out about it, and He's given us His Word and His Holy Spirit, and He's given other measures and other methods so that we can obtain what the plan of God is. Because that's why He says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what is the will of the Lord, what he wants you to do, Ephesians 5:17. So generally, you know, when we think about this, you have to ask yourself, have I ever considered what God's plan is for me today? What is His plan is for me in different areas of my life? And so, generally, everybody wants to know what the plan is. Everybody wants to know what God wants them to do, or what, you know, what plan there are. Some people have never really set up a time or a way to find out what God's plan is for their lives. They just don't really care sometimes for some reason. When we think about the will of God, we think about this. What about all the evil things, the awful things that are going on right now around the will of God, around the world, around right here in our city? What about all the disturbances going around the world, even at this moment? Some people believe that everything going on in the world right now, or in your backyard, or in your city, that God willed it to happen, that it's God's responsibility. Some people think or teach that way, that everything happens is God's will. God is a sovereign God, and He'll do what He wants to do. And He doesn't, you know, you shouldn't be asking God these things. But there's a whole lot of stuff going on, and a lot of people consider that it's God's will for these evil things to happen. Is God's will, with all the racism in the city and around the world, is that God's will? Well, some people think it is. Other people, you know, you get these crazy thinking going on, and you get mixed up, and pretty soon you're really out in left field. Is it God's will for all the drug addictions and all the drug houses in the city? Is that God's will that your child be stuck with drug addiction? Is that God's will for pedophiles to be around? You know, we look at these things. There's all these awful things going on. And is it God's will for some child to die at the age of 5? It's not God's will. And people say, well, how do you explain it? Well, if you look at something, you'll understand what happens. You understand this, that you're, you know, we can be defenseless, especially without God in our lives, protecting us. Understand that? You can be defenseless. If you don't ask God, he's not going to come and just come in your life and do what he wants to do. The devil does that. We have to invite God in our lives to participate and come in your life. You know, that's why Psalm 91 spells this out, that if you live in the shelter of the Most High God, he said, I will save the Lord, you are my God. So he wants you to make confessions. He wants you to recite. He wants you to speak God's protection, God's, you know, will come in your life. That's how it works. So sometimes people believe, you know, are saying that the devil and God seemingly are working together these days. He said, well, you know, okay, the devil did it, but, you know, it's God's will that it happened that way. So there's a whole pile of stuff that's happening in people's lives, and they're looking at things, and they think God is doing these things, so they're defenseless in knowing how to pray, how to get out of the, you know, the thing, because they don't know whether God wants them to have this or not, whether it's a misfortune or something like that. So these evil things is going on. Some people think God's sovereign will is involved in that. But we need to see and look at the scriptures and see what the scripture says. So everything going on is not the will of God. All the bad that's going on is not God's will. We're going to find out what the Bible says. You know, quickly, when you say, what is the will of God? God's will is found in the Bible. If we want to know God's will, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to do some study. You're going to have to read the Bible. Not just race through it so that you can claim that I read the Bible from cover to cover. You need to study the Bible. You know, so it takes time. It takes some effort to set aside a time every day, maybe 15 minutes a day. If you take 15 minutes a day and read this, you'll read through the whole Bible in 1 year. Amen. Take 15 minutes a day out of your time, you'll read this whole Bible in 1 year. Or you could, if you read faster, you could do, you know, you can do it in 4 months. And just study and do other things as well. So, God's will is found in the Bible. His word is his will. The word of God is the will of God. There is what we call the general will of God, and there is what they call a specific will of God. Number one, the general will. Number two, the specific will. And then you have your wife. No, no, or your husband. No, you got the general will, and you got the specific will. So the general will of God, we find by reading the Bible from cover to cover for every major thing or major detail of what God wants for his children. In 1 Peter says that God wants everyone to come to know Jesus. That's the general will of God. God wants everybody to be filled with his Spirit. God wants to lead everyone by his Spirit. Those are in the scriptures. He wants you to listen to him. In the specific will of God, there's a general will, the specific will, is that we have to get the specific will by fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. That comes through constant prayer and meditation and understanding and walking with the Spirit. God has different details for every one of us. For instance, God doesn't want, you know, if there's a woman in the church here, and I mean, this is to take, for example, we take two young people or two old people. I'm going to look over here somewhere. Anyway, two older people, and there's one girl over there. You got seven boys who want to marry that one girl. You say, well, all seven say, that's God's will that I marry her. Well, she can't marry all seven men. And so it has to be some kind of will, God's will involved in there, maybe none of them. So what if she doesn't want to get married? So there's a way. So God has ways for us. So God, if God didn't want a certain person to marry somebody, or you know, God will give you a choice. God say, okay, you can marry that person if they want you to marry them. Then you can marry them. So you know, I don't know about you, but you have to take this seriously when you marry somebody, right? You got to take it seriously who you're supposed to marry. And so you have to see what it says in the will of God about marriage after a while too. So for in the general will of God, as I mentioned, he wants you to be filled with the Spirit. He wants you to get saved. Those are just general will. God wants everybody to go to church, but not everybody goes to church because they say, no, I don't have to go to church. You know, it's funny. In Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about that God's will to send pastors. Pastors have churches. They have fellowships. And God sent, it says God gave gifts unto men. Those are pastors and local fellowships where people go to. And people say, I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. You can tell right away they're out of the will of God. Everybody needs one. It's humbling to have somebody speak to you every week, to speak into your life. It's not that easy to come here and tell you what to do as far as the will of God in that sense. You know what I'm saying? But it takes some people to be humble and to hear God, that God can speak to somebody for his will. That's how God works it. And he says that these ministry gifts are there until Jesus comes. So some people decide that they don't need this anymore. Well, Jesus hasn't come here yet. So you're going to still need the local church. You're going to still need the pastor. So there's a lot of folks that go to this. You probably have relatives right at home right now or not somewhere. They don't want to go to church. They don't think they have to. They don't need to. But they do. They do. They haven't seen it. They don't want to see it. So there's a will of God that's being missed out for people. So God's perfect plan, God's will is his perfect plan and his will, or your ideal his ideal life for you. His calling in ministry or your occupation in life, it could be your job or your career, your activities, your involvement in life. When it comes to the will of God, you know, you need to ask yourself, Lord, should I go to this university and take 4 years of college or university? Should I do this? Is that what you want me to do? Is that your will? Can I do that? And the Lord will speak to you. Sometimes people don't listen because they just follow tradition. Because, well, my mother was a nurse, so I'll become a nurse. My dad was a doctor. And, oh, we have a long list of doctors. I want to be a doctor. My dad was a pastor, so I'll be a pastor. So that's not how it works. God will work in your life. Psalm 139 says that God has written a book and your name is in it. And he's detailed everything about what you should be doing. If you read Psalm 139, you'll see that God has your name in there. And he's written out details. He said, you know every detail about my life, Psalm 39 says. So, in fact, you know, it's amazing that God already knows what you're going to ask him before you say something. That's astounding. You know, your mind cannot understand this. How incredible God is. The vastness of the universe. What he made. God is awesome. He knows every detail about your life. He knows what's better for you than you do. He knows exactly what you need. So God's will is his perfect plan, his ideal. God's perfect will is his design for your life, his purpose, what he predetermined for our lives. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I'm reading the New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ, so we can do those good things he has planned for us long ago. So if you're looking for something exciting, God has something exciting for you. He's planned a good life for you. The scripture said God has planned a good life. He's predetermined something for us to do. If you're bored, it's because you're out of the will of God. People say, well, I'm bored. I know kids say that a lot. How many people, you have kids that say, I'm bored. I'm bored. They can't sit still for a little while. You got to be on the computer. So we lost, the scientists are saying now, people have lost the ability to think for themselves, to sit quiet and listen. We're losing that very, very quickly, and that happens to kids and people because you just throw them an iPad. That's what's wrong today. I mean, we're seeing this everywhere. I mean, that's fine right now, like this. Thank God they can do that. But they shouldn't be doing that all day long. Okay, so I'm teaching right now. I'm telling you something from God. You shouldn't be giving your kid an iPad 24 hours a day. Ernie, listen. Give me those iPads. A bucket of chicken would be better. So, I'm not trying to meddle. I'm just saying, we need time to think. We're giving kids, we're teaching kids, we're taking the way, when we were kids, we went out to play in the bush and use our imagination. We pretend we were Tarzan. And got lots of injuries, lots of scratches, right? But now, the kids, they just get a video game and fight with somebody across the world. War games or something, I don't know what they do. I try to play some games with kids. They beat me so easily. So it's tough playing with a kid. So when evil strikes, who's responsible? We talk about God's will. When bad things happen to good people, when bad things just happen, who's responsible? Is God responsible for that? Is the devil responsible for that? Is man responsible for that? Paul said Satan is the god of this world, and he can't interfere with God's plan for our lives if you let him. Some people ignorantly let the devil into their lives. Here's what Jesus said. Over here, God's ultimate purpose in John 10:10, he says, the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and destroy. If there's any stealing going on, any killing going on, any destruction going on, it's the devil. The devil is doing that. He says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The Amplified says that you might enjoy life. That you might enjoy life. If you're not enjoying life, it could be that you're not in the will of God. Could be. Listen, there's a lot of people that God could tell you to do something, but you're not enjoying it. So you need to enjoy the trip. Because sometimes when God tells you to do something, that you're not going to enjoy it right away. For instance, Jesus was led out in the desert to be tempted of the devil. That's not enjoyable. Paul went into different places where God sent him, and he didn't enjoy some of those things. How many people know that your decisions affect a lot of other people? Okay, your decisions affect people. The way you live affects people. Your children affects you. Parents affect their children. And sometimes long, long time after, many, many years, it impacts them for a lifetime. That's why there's lots of resentment sometimes between families because of decisions that people have made. So it takes a while. So it says here, so we can see by these scriptures that it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. He has access to this world, and he's the god of this world. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know that if those things are happening, then we know it's the devil's activity. And he's influenced people to make bad decisions that affect a lot of folks. Jesus came here. It says here, over here in the scripture, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read the Amplified Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. In other words, if you're practicing sin, you're doing the devil's work. If you're ignoring God's plan for your life, the general will of God, then you're into the devil's work. Christians can do that. That's why 1 John 1, 7 and 9 talks about confessing our sin. Notice it says, who practices evil doing is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law, from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo and destroy and loosen and to dissolve the works of the devil. This is Jesus. Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. And whatever's going on in life that's destructive and evil and hurtful, Jesus wants to undo that in your life. Any destruction and killing and pain is of the devil. In our reference to our health, the Bible says here in Peter said in John 10:38, notice this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In other words, Jesus was doing God's will. All those people that he healed was oppressed of the devil. That's what it says in there. Every sick person, it says in there that sickness is oppression. I don't see any happy people when they're sick. You have to go to sit in a doctor's office. I know when you get sick with something that's life-threatening, if you got cancer, you got, you know, blood sicknesses, you got diabetic problem, those people that go to the renal department at the hospital, they're not happy. People go to heart surgery and all that stuff. They're not happy. Oh, boy, tomorrow I'm getting a heart, you know, operation. No, they're not happy. It's oppression. It makes you sad and affects your family and affects your finances and affects your time and all kinds of stuff. It's not God's plan. So Peter preached that it was Satan who was responsible for all those who were sick when Jesus healed them. So the devil can influence people to do bad. He can influence you to do bad. The enemy can get people off track and get them into disobedience. The devil works behind man's activity when it's evil. He puts the evil plan into effect. When you step out of the will of God, Satan has legal right to attack you. When you disobey God and you get out of the will of God, and you, if there's an invisible line right here, this is God's will this way, and it's not His will over here, and you step across the line, you're being in a place where Satan can attack you. Because the Bible says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalm 91. So there's a shadow of the Almighty. You must stay under the covering of God in His plan, His perfect will. And so when you get out of the will of God, or you're in the will of God now, He can't get you. He can't see you. Because you're covered under the blood, and He can't penetrate the blood. So when you step out into your own will, you say, I'm making my own decisions. No, you get out of disobedience. This is where Satan can get you. Anybody, preacher, pastor, no matter who it is, if you just decide to do that, then you're an open target. So are your children. So is your finances. All the plans you made could be gone in a moment. How many people know your health is so important? When your health is gone, money's not going to do you any good. When your mental health is gone, when you're stressed out in your mind and your body, that's not God's plan for you to be stressed out, to have full of anxiety. But you got money in your bank, but you're all stressed out. And you're sick, and your house is all on fire. That's not God's will. And your wife hates you. He never sees you. Your kid never sees you because you're too busy working. I'm getting a meddling now, okay. You feel that. So notice here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, I'm reading the New Living Translation. Paul's telling this pastor called Timothy to instruct these people here at church. He says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. How many people know that only God can change a heart? This is why prayer is so important. I read in Deuteronomy that listen to me for a second. Can you listen? Look at it. God spoke to me one time and said, I was upset with my children being out of the will of God, doing stuff that's against God's will. I know I've been there before. And I know it's very dangerous when your children step out of line. So I'm worried about them. Aren't you worried about your children? Yeah. Yeah. So I'm praying, and I'm so busy getting concerned about these children. And Lord said, "Listen, if you just take care of yourself, if you start to obey me and follow my instructions and do the will, I'll take care of your children. And if you fall into the plan of God, you go to church, read your Bible, be nice to people, and do all those things, whatever you have to do to be in God's plan," he said, "I'll take care of your children." And we looked at the scripture last week about the husband and a wife. If the wife begins to follow God, this is, you know, a great man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he was a great man of God, but he had a great wife called Polly. Because you know, anybody named Polly has to be a good wife. So Polly would go to church, and Smith said, "You can't go to church." So he says, "I'm going to church." He said, "If you go to church, they're going to lock you out." So Polly goes to church, and she's locked out. Comes home at night, and Smith Wigglesworth locked the door, and Polly couldn't come in home. So she had to sleep right there in the door. So she's sleeping there at night, and falls asleep against the door. And Smith comes out, opens the door, and Polly falls in. And she said, "Oh, Smith, how are you? Can I make you breakfast?" And so, you know, you're talking about a woman that understands. You see in First Peter and all those other chapters, it talks about in there that when it's our lifestyle and the way we behave affects those for Jesus, not what we say to them. So there's a time in your life when you're through talking with your children. You cannot talk to your children anymore. You cannot intellectually speak to them. It's done. They shut you down. God said in His Word, in Deuteronomy, He said, "If you follow me wholeheartedly, I will change the hearts of your children. I will speak to them. I will turn their hearts around." It says here in this scripture the same thing, in the New Living. So it's God's will we follow Him and not try to force people to come along. There's a time in life when people are adults that they don't want to follow you anymore because you can't just take them. I used to like it when I tell our other pastors that it's nice now. You can just take your kids and throw them all and buckle them up and take them wherever you want to go. Put them in bed when you want to and stick them in there. If they're not tyrants, your kids, you know. So you put them in bed, and then you can have your time with your wife and watch TV and eat cake, whatever you want to do. But they're in their bed. But when they're old, you don't do that to a 16-year-old kid. Someone told me the other day, they got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just, I got to go to the bathroom, drink some water, and went out, you know, and get some fresh air. All of a sudden, their 16-year-old kids are outside in the lawn looking at the stars. So what are you doing? "Oh, I just can't sleep." Well, they're 16 years old. Maybe we should lock them out, right? But you see, you can't force them at a certain time. There's a certain time in the kids. You know, today they're influenced by a lot of stuff. I understand this, folks. Your children are being influenced and being bombarded by a lot of stuff on here. Yeah, it used to be that sitcoms used to, you know, J.J. Walker, we all like J.J. Walker, right? You remember J.J., you were too young, right? Oh, yeah. But anyway, we were watching these sitcoms. They disrespected parents all the time. You notice that the sitcoms, they treat like parents are stupid. You know, like Marion Boswell, what do you call those guys? Remember that show in the 50s? I forget what Happy Days. Remember Happy Days? Anybody remember Happy Days? Nobody here remember. All the old folks. Yeah, we all remember Happy Days. But they like treat the families like they're mom's stupid. Mom's really stupid. You know, she's a dumbo. And so kids are getting bombarded with stuff like this, and they're looking at these stars that that's what they should be like. They disrespect authority and whatever. That's coming through real clear We can see it, but the kids can't see it. This is cool, man. Just follow them right into hell. But see that it says here, notice 2 Timothy 2:25 and 26. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. This is the pastor's job right here. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. The scripture says that the devil can trap you to do his will. Well, how does he trap you? Well, he does a lot of things to trap you. One of the ways he does it is through fear. Your peers, you're afraid of your peers to make decisions and different things. I mean, he can force you to do different things because of this. People have killed other people because of peer pressure. Peer pressure. Jesus said to Peter, because Peter was influenced by Satan, here in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, New Living. Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, then he reprimanded Peter. "Get away from me, Satan," he said. "You are seeing the things merely from a human point of view, not from God's point of view." So you can see here, I mean, it's Jesus talking to his disciples. And Peter is getting influenced and saying things out of the will of God, saying things that the devil, you know, how many people understand that sometimes you're being influenced by the devil the way you speak? People say, "No, not me." No, everybody's gone through. Peter was a man of God. I mean, he's following God. He's doing his part. So, Peter said he feared Satan can influence a certain people over here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, "But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ," he's talking to the Corinthians, "will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent." So when it comes to God's will, you know, Satan can somehow come into a person's life, and then they can make decisions out of the will of God, out of God's plan, right into the devil's lap. Satan has power to influence people, or even a lot of people of the world. Here's what the Apostle John said. Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, "We know that we are children of God, and that the world around us is under the control or the influence of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come. He has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we can live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, the only true God, and He is eternal life." So he says the whole world under us is under the influence of the evil one, the devil. The whole world. But they say, "Well, is that true?" Yeah, well, the Bible says that right here. So you can take from it what you need to take from it. So we need to know what God's will is. We need to know when we're being evil affected. We should know when the devil is coming to help us get out of the will of God. We need to know the will for our own personal lives, that there is a perfect will for our lives, that God's perfect will for my life is not yours. Yours is not mine, mine is not yours. Everybody has specific things that God wants them to do. But there's general things that God wants all of us to do. God wants all of us to be saved. He wants all of us to be filled with the Spirit. He wants all of us to be led by the Spirit. He wants all of us to go to church and have good influence in our lives. God wants all that. And if you don't go associate with good people, it's hard to find the will of God out there by yourself because there's so much influence out there. So, Jeremiah 29:11, the prophet Jeremiah said it's a good plan that God has. His will is a good plan. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you. Not just one plan, but plans." There's many things that God wants you to do. Find one of them at least. Start with that. Amen. He said, "There are plans for good." Everybody say, "Plans for good." So God never planned one bad thing for you. According to this verse of Scripture, He didn't plan anything bad to happen to you. He says, not for disaster. If there's anything going on financially, disaster in your family, relationship disaster, that's not God's plan. He says, to give you a future and a hope. So there is a future for us, something good for us, for our lives. Every one of us in here right now can claim a good future. We can claim something good is going to happen. It's perfectly in the will of God for you to say something good is going to happen to me. Get up every morning and say something good is going to happen to me. And if somebody's beside you, say, you know, something's going to happen to you because you're with me. Amen? Because it just flows to other people. But if you're with bad people, bad is going to happen to you. I was reading different scriptures there. The people who hang around with the evil people that are out of the will of God, bad is going to happen to you because you happen to be standing in the same spot. If you get arrested, or if somebody gets arrested and they've done bad things and you're there with them, you're going to be arrested too. Right? It says, so nothing bad in God's plan ever happens. Either you believe it or not believe it. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you go ahead and believe what you want to believe. Nothing better, but not bad happens according to these different scriptures here we can look at. He did not plan for anyone to be sick. He didn't want anybody to die young. You ever notice, I'm reading this because I read a lot and different things, that God has a plan. Psalm 91, 16 says, God wants us to all have long life. How long is long life? Well, Psalm 90, verse 10, I think it says that God wants everybody to live at least, the least is 70 and 80 years. But if you want to live longer, you can live longer. So that's why you're living longer. She wants to live long. She can't go. She's got to pray for this ministry. So God wants everybody to live long, according to a lot of scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, it says, there, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is a command that has a promise attached to it, that all will go well with you. When you honor your parents, when you respect your parents, respect your elders, all will go well with you. That means you'll be successful and that you will live long on the earth. So that's in the New Testament, that God wants us to live long. So every one of you can claim long life to say, thank God, he wants me to live long life. I was reading in the 1 Chronicles 29, the Bible says David died at a good old age. Good old age, full of riches and honor. Psalm 92 says that in old age, I'll be fat and flourishing. Well, fat means, it means you'll be abundantly blessed. How many want to be fat and flourishing? Amen. So fat is of the Lord, the scripture says. So there's nothing wrong with it, right? She doesn't mind. I like Charlotte because she laughs at all my jokes all those many years she's been around. I go around to Charlotte and I go to talk to her. She just laughs at me. Funny. So, God wants you to live long. He didn't want anybody to. It says in Proverbs that a man can extend his life or a man can shorten his life. It's not all up to God. It's our decisions that we make affects us and affects other people. The Bible says if you're lazy, what's going to happen? You're not going to have any money. You're not going to have anything at the end of your life. If you just sit at home, what are you doing today? Oh, not too much. Are you going to have a good life? Oh, yeah. Well, the government will take care of me. $500 a month. Well, inflation's happening. Well, we have to figure out some things, right? I'm just going to believe God. I'll sit here. He's going to give me a new car. Well, he could, but most likely he won't because he said you got to go to work. There's nobody laughing at this one because it's true. He's gonna, somebody's not going to drive over, you know, the Chev dealer guy is not going to come over. I just parked the car in your driveway. The Lord said to give it to you. The bank manager in Nova Scotia dropped by. He said, here's the bag of money. The Lord spoke to me. There's 10 grand in there. I'm going to drop by every month for the next 4 weeks. Well, it could happen, but it most likely it won't happen. Right? It's God's will to prosper us. Ephesians 2 and 10. Look at the Amplified Bible. God wants good things to happen to us. For we are His workmanship. In other words, God's working on you right now. You're not a finished project. Right? Everybody say, I'm not a finished project. Say, I'm under construction. So that's a hard thing to remember, especially when you're mad at somebody. When they haven't paid you the 500 they said they was going to give back to you. For we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a work of art. So you are a work of art. I've had people say that in a bad way, but this is a good way. Created in Christ Jesus, born anew from above, or born from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works. So you're ready to do good things, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us. So this scripture is very more specific than what, it says over there in Jeremiah 29:11. It says here, God has planned these things, good plans for you. So we need to put our faith in that. So you have to study. How do we find the will of God? We have to study the Word, get to know God ourselves through the study of His Word on a regular basis, not just haphazardly. Have a strategic plan about what areas you want to study about. We need to study and learn the basic principles and determine His plan accordingly. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself approved to God, unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, or the word is disappointed, rightly dividing the truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2:15. They will increase unto more ungodliness, for the word will eat as it does a canker or cancer, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already and overthrew the faith of some. God doesn't want you to affect other people's faith adversely. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. He didn't want us to live in sin. But in a great house are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, or cleanse himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. When he talks about wood, earth, and stubble, when he talks about that in the scripture, when he talks about work, those are not the will of God for your life. Because you could be doing works that look so good in the natural, but it won't amount to anything as far as God's plan is concerned. How many people know your whatever you do here will follow you into the next world? He'll reward you accordingly. Not everything that comes here is going to be rewarded, but there's some things in heaven. Some people are on God's plan because they have become more diligent to study the Word of God, like these people in Acts 17 and 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the Word of God with readiness of mind. And they searched the Scriptures daily. Those things were so. If when I'm preaching something, you should study the Bible then and say, okay, is this in the Bible? Did Pastor, what he said, is that true? then look at it for yourself and read it. Study other scriptures. So there's two primary ways to know the will of God. First is go to the Word of God, which is His plan. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, 1 and 2. I'm reading the New Living Translation. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that He has done for you. When you offer your body, you give your body to God, that means you're not going to use your body anymore to sin. The people say, I can't do that. You know, for various reasons. Because people, your body, of course, is not born again. It's going to want to do what it wants to do. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See? If you can change the way you think, you can get into the will of God. Not changing like the world. It talks about here the world, the customs of the world, but change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. So the way to find the will of God is to study the will of God, study the Word of God. He's going to change the way you think so that you can make decisions based on the thinking that you have. Look at it. Ask yourself, is my thinking, is that the plan of God? Is that the way God wants me to think? Or is that the way, is that my own thinking? Secondly, you need to become familiar with the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. So pray. Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your helper in prayer. He can assist you to know God's perfect plan for you. Notice over here, Romans 8, 26, 27, and 28. New Living Translation I'm reading. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. A lot of times people think they know what God wants them to do, so they're praying out of the will of God. Ask yourself, when you're praying for something, is that the will of God? Look at your prayer and find that in the scripture where it says that, what you just said. Well, he needs a wife. I'm going to pray that he gets a wife. Well, maybe God doesn't want him to get married. Well, he needs a job to end this over here. I'm going to pray that he goes over here. No, it's not. You don't know God's will. Well, you need to go to the ministry. I'm going to pray you go to the ministry. How do you know God wants him to go to the ministry? Are you Holy Spirit? We didn't know you were Holy Spirit. My goodness. No. He says here, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. How does He do it? With groanings. The word groanings has reference to praying in tongues. The word groanings means inarticulate speech. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, it said the Holy Spirit, if you look at the 14:14, I believe is 1 Corinthians, that it says in the Amplified, the Holy Spirit takes our spirit when we pray in tongues and prays the will of God through us. As you yield to Him and pray the perfect will of God. So a lot of times, you know, you do this. So Father, I want to pray the will of God for my life. I don't know what's happening over here. My mind tells me other things. People are saying this. This circumstance says this. My history says this. My experience says this. But I'm going to look to You. And I'm going to pray the will of God. And you go, Father, I'm praying the will of God for my life. Devil says, what you doing? So I'm praying the will of God. As the Bible says so. But you have to believe that. You have to know the scripture where it says here before you actually can do that. A lot of times, that's the way I pray. 90% of the time, that's the way I pray for myself. That's the way I pray for my kids, because I don't know what God wants exactly for them. I say, Lord, I'm praying for Natasha right now in the name of Jesus. I know she's making some decisions. Father, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus right now. You said if I pray in tongues, Holy Spirit, You said You'd help me to pray over this area here. I'm praying in tongues. when it comes to addictions. I found all the scriptures in the Bible that answer my questions about addictions. And I stand on the scriptures. I make reference to it, and I speak over my children. And I pray that they would come out of this darkness. I talk to the devil, and I will find scriptures that show me that I can talk to the devil and show me that I can come to the devil and tell him about that. And I talk to the devil. Devil, listen. Come on here. I want to talk to you. You can't have my child. I'm speaking to you right now. I'm binding you. I'm taking authority over you right now. You cannot have her. I'm breaking your power over her. I'm breaking your power over her mind in the name of Jesus. And I command that you loose her to me right now. Because the Bible says, here's what it says. I read the scripture to him. And I say, you release her to me right now. And I loose the angels of God. God's word says that angels can help me. And God says, when I speak the word of God over my children, angels begin to do the work right now. Angels, go around them, bring them home right now. Even if they're in a drug house. In the name of Jesus, I command all these people that are around her, all the drug people around her, I break every access to her by the power of Jesus. I break every access in the name of Jesus. I break all these accesses, all these influence. In Jesus' name, I break that right now. I take authority over that. And angels, I command you to go forth and cause them to be free. The Bible says that the house of the righteous shall stand. The Bible says the children of the righteous shall go free. They shall be free. They shall not be held captive in Jesus' name. It says those that God will go to the enemy's camp and take the children away from them and bring them back to their place. That's what the Bible says. And you stand on that. If it takes 10 weeks, if it takes 10 months, if it takes a year, or whatever, you stand on it. And all of a sudden when you pray that, it got worse. You don't go, and then you call all your Facebook friends and tell them. And they get, it went all over the place, and they made it worse, and they start talking evil about your child. Then they talk evil about you. Whose fault is it? It's your fault, because you never learned how to pray the will of God and stand strong in it. He said, no, I'm not giving up. And after you prayed that prayer, it even got worse. He said, no, you're not going to kill them in the name of Jesus. You bring them to me. Same with everything, with money. And you pray that, you believe that. I'm talking about praying the will of God. Well, you don't find chapter and verse on Johnny is free from drugs. You can't find that scripture in there. But you can find scriptures that says that God, the righteous children shall be free from the enemy. The righteous house of the righteous shall stand. I want to show you, I don't know if you want me to teach that. If you have an addiction child, I want to tell you how to get rid of that. I want to tell you how to be free from that. I'm going to teach that Sunday morning. Everybody that has an addiction problem, I'm going to pray. You can tell all your friends in Thunder Bay, if they can come here, we can get them all free. We can get them all free. And you know, like, there's a lot of people that are dying. I see people. I'm going to a lot of funerals. How many funerals have I gone in the last 2 years? Every almost every month or every 2 months, 2-3 people dying of drug overdose, you know, whatever it is, they're dying. And I look at the people around them that's around them. I look at the families that's around them. They don't have God in their lives. So who's going to pray for these kids? And I drive downtown. I said, God, who's praying for that girl? Who's praying for that young person right there? Who is there? I'm asking God. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I break the power over that woman right here in the name of Jesus. There's one girl. I used to travel all the way when I lived over here. We went all the way to Secord Street, and there was one girl. Every day I would see her there. She's on the street selling drugs. My heart went out to this girl. This was about 7 years ago. And I claimed this girl. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for that girl right now. I break every demonic influence over that girl. Because the devil has her, has influenced her. And once you're into drugs, you're so deceived that you don't believe you can get out of it. Hello? When you're under drugs, you can't see reality. All you see is that I need the next fix. No one can help me. I'll do whatever. I'll sell my body. I'll steal my grandmother's fortune, whatever it is. I'll take whatever it is to get myself a fix. They're such under influence. I went for a haircut, and I talked to this one young woman. We start talking, and she said, "Oh, that man that came by, that I just cut, that's my dad." Because I said, "Oh, this guy's hugging this nice girl." In my mind, "Oh, what's going on here?" Well, he's hugging his daughter after he cut the hair. See, the daughter cut the hair, so he comes out and looks at me. This guy, I wonder if I'm a dealer. So I'm there, and this lady started cutting my hair. She started talking to me. She started opening up to me. She said, "I've been clean for 7 years." And the way I treated my parents are the most loving people. But when I was out there, I treated my parents like dirt. They were like my enemy to me. He said, "My mom is my best friend today. I don't do anything without my mom. We talk, we have an exchange of a lot of good things, but when I was out there, I didn't have that." See, when the devil comes in, destroys a person's life, takes away their mind, takes away their soul. They say, I remember listening to Dr. Lillian B. Yeoman. We have books out there. She was a medical doctor who was completely taken over by drug addiction. She was on morphine. She was just feeding herself morphine. It was completely out of whack. She got to the place in her life where she was so sick, she was like a skeleton with skin stretched over her. She said she looked like a corpse. The life of God, her whole life was just sucked out of her. Her soul was gone, almost overtaken by the enemy. But she found out that God is a deliverer. She got free from the drug addictions, and her and her sister devoted their life to treating people with sickness and disease. She said the devil took completely over her life, that she didn't know what reality was. It's not God's will that our city be afflicted with drug addiction, and it's our fault. Your fault. Your fault. Your fault that you're not praying for the people every day diligently. It's not just, "Lord, help them. Help everybody, Lord. Remember them." That's not going to work. That kind of prayer doesn't work anything. When you go to the hospital, "Oh, Lord, just bless this person in the name of Jesus." It's going to take more than blessing that person. You're going to get a hold of God with His scriptures and start believing God 100% and changing people's life. If you want somebody changing your life, you're going to have to pray diligently, hard, every day. It's not like, "Oh, bless them, Lord." No, you're going to have to fight tooth, dog, and nail and get into the devil every day. Say, "Listen, I told you yesterday, I told you last night, and you're coming to me. They're not going to die from this." I was telling my brother, when my sister was sick, she's 45 years old. She went out and got drunk for the weekend. She was taking dope. She was somewhat, suicidal in her thoughts for a long time. She would say, "I wish I was dead." I said, "Don't, sis, don't say that. Don't talk like that." She said that for years. I wish I was dead. And she went out that one weekend, and she had an aneurysm. I don't know, from all the stuff she's doing, and she never recovered. It was in jail. Was in the hospital there. I went to visit her many, many times, sat beside her bed, felt helpless. I didn't know what I know now. I did not know what I knew now. I told my brother yesterday, the day before, I said, "You know, bro," I said, "I didn't know what I know now, how to help them. So I'm trying to help you. How to believe your child out of the addiction. Yes, they might go back out there, but you're going to bring them back in again. And you're going to protect them until they finally make a decision." I said, "Lord, I'm going to stand until the day they decide. I'm not going to walk with God. I don't want this. And that's it. Then I'm free from praying for this anymore. Then you're going to have to deal with me, heal me from that hurt." And then my brother, 42 years old, got killed. He died his own on a drug. His son was addicted to drugs as well. Was in jail and himself. My brother, 42 years old. So his son kills him, and I'm mad at this the son of it. Like, I have so much tragedy in my life. I wanted to kill my nephew. And I was, you know, you plan it in your mind. I'm going to kill this guy. I'm going to somehow get him. And my brother's dead. And I said, I didn't know how to pray for him. I could have helped him. If I had a chance to. See, some of you don't know how to help your family because you don't know this. You don't know God. You don't know how to get a God. You know how to talk to the devil. You have to talk to the devil like somebody, like you, you know, like he's your lower than you because you're higher than the devil. In the name of Jesus. Why don't we, you know, Brother Hagin taught us, he said, what we need to teach our people is take their authority. And a lot of churches are weak in their authority. They don't teach authority to the believer. And they have this thing on Netflix, there's this show talking about they're against the word of faith. These nominal Christians, because they don't believe that you can take authority. They think that everything happens is God's will. It's not God's will, everything that's going on. We need to take the authority that God has given us. Like it says in Romans, that we rule and reign by Jesus Christ. God wants to fulfill your needs. He wants you not to lack anything. He's your shepherd. That God wants to give you money, that you have enough money for your life. He wants you to be free from stress and burdens and worries. He wants you to have clothes, shoes on your feet. He wants you to have enough money to pay your rent or your mortgage. He wants you to drive a car if you want to. You're going to walk if you want to. You can buy a new bike if you want to. We need to have a good dose of what I'm talking about right here. And if we are taught the Word of God, come to a church, you see, people, there's a lot of folks that they don't want to hear what I have to say because they know they got some work to do. They want to go to some church where they just sit there for 15, 20 minutes and then go home and forget about God for the rest of the week and go have some beer. Ha ha, have a fun while everybody around them is dying. You know, we need to get right with God. And I'm looking at Pastor Hagin. What he says that we got to take authority, go back to the things that God wants us to. As long as I'm in this church and I'm pastor here, I'm going to teach you this. I'm going to do my best every Sunday, wake up and pray. I've been praying and looking at this. I said, God, I'm having a hard time Sunday. What should I teach? He said, teach them about the will of God. Teach them about what my will says. You come back next week. I'm going to teach you some more. This is not God's will. All this stuff is going on here. It's not God's will. We need to pray. Everybody stand in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Who's that masked man? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray for your will to happen in the lives of these people. That everyone here, every child, every man, woman, every family, that we pray that we would come into it. We're going to dedicate ourselves to being your will. You said in your word, if we dedicate our lives to you, that your will be done. So we're praying in the name of Jesus, Father. May your will be done. I say, Father, take my life. Take all of my life. I'm sorry for taking back parts of it, pieces of it. I repent and change my way. I'm sorry not because I got caught, but because I'm displeasing you. Then I've allowed the enemy to come in my life, to creep in slowly and slowly. And some people don't know that it's slowly and slowly until he's got you. You're stuck. Now you can't come back. And Lord, I'm glad I'm here today. In the name of Jesus, I'm dedicating my life to you. Take my life. My soul, the way I think, the way I feel. Take over the way I feel and think. I know I've got decisions to make. take care of my financial situation, my family, my children, my life, every area of my life. Lord God, I just want to thank you. I dedicate my life to you, all my family, my children. I put them on the altar with this. Like, do what you have to do with them, not what I want. I'm going to pray in the Spirit over them. I'm going to pray the will of God be done. And when I pray, I'm going to believe that it's so according to your word. And I'm going to pray the will. I'm going to pray the word over them. I'm going to pray the will of God that they grow and be strong. I pray for every person in this building, in this church right now, that everyone here, that they'll begin to do that. They'll begin to seek God. What you want them to do. You said in your word through David and Psalmist, and you said in 1 Chronicles 29 that our days on this year are just but it's just a shadow, like a passing shadow, and it's gone. It's like a mist. We're here for a short time. It seemed long for some people. 80 years seemed long, but it's not long. 90 years is not long, but eternity is a long time. And so I want to thank you, Lord, that I'm rededicating my life. I know I'm saved, but I'm rededicating because I need to get in the will of God. I need to see other people come to Jesus. I need to see my family come to Jesus. I need to see success in those people. I want to see them succeed, and I want them to be truly people of God, that their influence will influence other people. And Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for leading me, showing me, opened my eyes that I could see clearly where the devil's at work in my life. And I speak to the devil right now. You get out of my life. You stay out of my home. You stay out of every area of my life. My family, my children, my finances. You stay away from my ministry, my home. And I thank you, Lord God. Cover everyone with the blood of Jesus. We speak to the angels of God. The angels go forth and cause protection on every child, every man, every home. Cause protection over their property, over their stuff. Enemy will not extract from them. I pray for strength for every man, woman, and child. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. If you're not born again, you need to come to Jesus. They say, Lord, I'm not born again. I pray. I thank you that you're the Son of God. If you're watching online, say, I thank God that I had this opportunity to hear the word this morning. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe that he died for the sins of the world. He died for my sins. I believe he went to hell for me and rose the third day. Is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's my advocate. He's praying for me, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior, and I will walk with you, Lord Jesus. Go to church next Sunday, find a believing church, find people who believe the Bible and teach the Bible, and peace will be yours in Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody.